I'm Nick Harcourt. It's 88.5 KCSN. The program is Connections. And Ximena Serrano is our guest in studio. We've got a live performance coming up, and we're going to talk to her as well. First of all, welcome. It's great to see you again. I met you about 3 years ago back in New York at the Latin Alternative Music Conference.
Yes, it's nice to see you too.
And there is plenty for us to catch up on, no doubt, yes. Musically and in your life as well. But why don't we throw it to you first of all, and we'll talk about the album after we hear a couple of songs.
Okay, awesome. This is sort of like a little acoustic electro setup that I have here, which I usually do when I'm on my own. And this song is called Shinedown. That's what I'm going to start with. Next song that I'm going to do is a song that I wrote in Spanish. It's one of the few Spanish songs in the record, and it's called Tú y Yo, which means you and me. And it's a love song between two very fragile beings, and it's sort of like the story of their love. Here it goes. Un, dos, dos, tres, y... El volar bayo corría justo cuando anochecía. No supo qué pasó, no conoce el amor. En el río que descuido, él se ahogaba y yo nadaba, y él no supo qué hacer. Pude responder, conóceme muy bien, que siempre estaré, no, en esto del amor, no hay más que un corazón. Supe qué hacer y él me pudo responder, conóceme muy bien, que siempre estaré, en esto de perder. Se pierde una vez. Conóceme muy bien, que siempre estaré, no, en esto del amor, no hay más que un corazón, no. This next song that I'm going to do is actually a single, the first single of the record, and it talks about being the whole experience of making a record in a country which is not your own, which is what I did for this record. Did it all in the U.S., and I'm from Mexico, so that was strange at first and fun, and a lot of fun, but sometimes not that fun. And this is a song that came out of it. Sleep it off again. Don't remember when it started. There you go.
It's 88.5 KCSN. I'm Nick Harcourt, your host. The program is Connections, and our guest is Ximena Sarunyana. Great stuff. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
I want to talk about the new album, which is self-titled, comes out August 2nd. But before we go there, let's track back a little bit, because a lot of people who are listening to this will probably be hearing you for the first time and don't really know too much about you. We know you live in Los Angeles now, but you were actually born in Guadalajara, right?
Yeah.
And then sort of grew up in Mexico City and L.A. But you came from a very creative family. Your parents were in the movie business.
Yes, that's right. And actually, I was first an actress before I was a musician.
Well, interestingly enough, I listened to the interview you and I did in another lifetime ago. I'm sure you've had a couple since the last time we spoke. I know I have. And you were talking at that time about how you were doing both. Has the acting sort of slipped to the side for now?
Well, yeah, it's just I kind of wanted to keep doing both, but the truth is I had no idea. I mean, when you interviewed me back then, my first record had only been out for 3 months, and I had no idea what I was talking about.
I still don't know what I'm talking about.
And it just was, I didn't know that it was going to be so time-consuming, so... Mm. And it just, you know, I just became obsessed with music, and it just hasn't allowed me or given me time to try and do anything else.
So let's backtrack then. You became an actress originally. That seemed like a natural thing to do with folks in the movie business.
Yeah.
When did you first get into music?
Well, it was actually when I always kind of combined both when I was an actress. When I was really, really young, the first thing I did was musical theater. And after that, I would always kind of, they would ask me to record like the theme song of the soap opera I was in, or they would ask me to participate singing in the soundtrack of one of the, you know, the movies that I was in. But I don't think it was until I was like 15 or 16 when you kind of get your first blow of identity, and me being a Scorpio and a very passionate person, it was like a massive blow. And I was like, I have to do something with my life. Like, I want to be serious about something. And the first thing that, you know, that came to mind, or what I was most obsessed with at that age, was music. So I just went and got into a college of music at 16, which allowed you to start it before you had your high school diploma. So I started studying music seriously, and it hooked me like that.
And piano was there right from the beginning?
Well, yeah. I mean, my parents always forced us to study an instrument, whichever we would pick. And piano was always kind of the instrument that I would study, although I was never serious about it. Like, I'm a terrible piano player. I think I've actually gotten better the last year or so, because I've had to play it so much that now I feel a little more confident on it. But it was always secondary. My first instrument was always voice.
You seem like you got that piano thing down to me right now.
Well, it's definitely better. It's just, I think that out of having to tour on my own and having to sort of build a setup on my own, it's just been something that I've had to practice more.
So that first record was called Mediocre, and interesting title. Why did you pick that as a title? It came out in 2008.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there was this one song, which was sort of like the emblematic song of the record, was called Mediocre. And I just, that song was so important to me, and I kind of wanted to title it that. And it also, you know, had to do with sort of the main thematic of this sort of hating the in-between point that I'm like an all or nothing kind of person, and all my songs spoke about that and sort of hated this like middle point. And so I kind of wanted to confront myself with it, and I titled it Mediocre, which is like the worst midpoint possible. No.
You know, they always say that you have the whole of your life to write the first record.
Exactly.
And then you have like a year or maybe 2 years to write the second. The first record obviously got you some nice attention and gave you some visibility. And started to move you out of the acting world clearly towards the music world. With that success, how did you then decide to approach the second album? Because the second album is pretty different, I think.
It is. I mean, the main most obvious difference is that it's in another language. It's an English record. And
why did you decide to do that? Why did you decide to do this, with the exception of that one song in English?
Well, it was actually kind of like a circumstance. It just sort of happened. I was in the first year of promoting Mediocre, and I was nominated for an American Grammy for Mediocre, and I met with people from my record label here, and they actually were the ones who suggested it. And I mean, it took me completely off guard, and I had no idea. Like, it wasn't in my plans at all to do an English record, but once they put the worm inside your brain, it was hard for me to forget about it, or just be like, oh, I'm just going to go back to Mexico and do another record in Spanish. And I just thought that it was such a challenge that I should pursue it.
So once you'd made that decision, what was the process like? Because you enlisted the help of a couple of producers as well this time around, some people who've done some pretty big records as well. How did that come about? Tell us about the guys who you got involved with, like Greg Kirsten, and the process of making the record here in Los Angeles.
Well, it was definitely a whole new experience for me, because it was kind of like starting all over again, because, you know, I wasn't really known here. Nobody knew who I was, and it was definitely a first for me to work in the industry here. And it's quite a different industry from what Mexico is. For what I've seen in Mexico, it's obviously much bigger industry, much more concentrated, and it's way more. There's way more competition and a lot more stuff going on.
It's intense in this town, isn't it?
It is very intense. So to just be to be in it and submerged in it, and I just felt that I had to work 50 or 60 times harder for this record. And but I'm really, really thankful that it happened that way. And of course, you know, I was working with such amazing producers. You know, Greg Kirsten, he's like a sort of like a guru of production for me. Well, that's what he became, because he's so amazing, and he covers every aspect of production. You know, he's not only an amazing producer, but he's also his own engineer, and he's also an amazing piano player, and he's also a songwriter and has great taste in music.
He's worked with a lot of people. He has his own band, The Bird and the Bee, which I'm sure some of our listeners have heard. But he's worked with Beck. He produced tracks on the last Lily Allen album, and probably a couple of other people that you know that I don't know. But I mean, you know, this is a guy with pedigree, as they say. How is it to work with somebody like that, to walk into a situation like that where you're working with somebody who's had records in the top 10?
I know. Well, it was intense, but it was also highly rewarding for me to, you know, because he treated me like, you know, like an artist, or like a unique artist. And I realized that, you know, in the end, he's a person, and we shared so many of the same tastes, and you know, and it was awesome to be able to, you know, I would suggest something and for him to be pleasantly surprised and to kind of follow through with what I was doing. And it gave me a lot of confidence too.
So production-wise, what did that bring to the finished thing? How did the song shift between demo and what we hear on the album?
Well, it's actually funny, because the record was approached so differently here. Since I was writing a lot with Greg, sort of like production and writing came at the same time. So the songs are very production-oriented and had a production sound way before they were even completed songs, or before they had lyrics. So that was a very different way of working for me, where, you know, Mediocre, I basically just wrote all the songs in piano and guitar and voice, and that was... And afterwards, you would, you know, sort of cover them and produce them. And here it was just completely different.
So very, very different in many ways. First of all, singing in English,
yeah.
The way the songs came together. Let me ask you about the songs. I remember you talking to me about your first album, saying the songs were about yourself. They were about your life. Is that still the same?
That is pretty much still the same. I don't think, I think it's very therapeutical for me to write from a very personal point of view, because I find myself having to be as honest as I possibly can when I write. So sometimes I'll maybe say things that I don't even want to accept, at the time of, you know, of my life. And it's actually funny because even with some songs of in Mediocre, I listen back to them and they don't make sense to me until like maybe 2 years later. And I'm like, oh my God, that was what I meant. And I knew that that was going to happen. And I didn't pay attention to my very personal feelings, you know?
So what's the biggest change in your life in the last 3 years that you might want to share anyway?
Well, it's been massive changes. I mean, first of all, I think I've become a way more independent person thanks to having to do this record. And in, you know, in another country, I had to, you know, I just had to work way more. And that makes you appreciate what you have a lot more. And it makes you a stronger artist, I think. And I've done way more touring now. And I know I'm a little bit more determined as to what I want, and a bit braver when it comes to my music in terms of, you know, being like, hey, I think that this record is a really good record and I'm really proud of it and I want to promote it, you know. And Mediocre, I think I was still kind of unsure of as to if it was a good record or not. And I was very, you know, sort of like, yeah, it's, I mean, good. I didn't really believe in my record that much and I think this experience has taught me that you have to believe in what you do for it to be a good record, you know.
And you live in Los Angeles now as well. Did you like it so much here that you had to move here?
Actually, it was quite the contrary. The first time that I worked here, I hated it. I was especially the first 6 months or year of working in the record, because it was a long record to make. It was 2 years in the making, and it was intense. I was not used to living here or how the city worked. And then after a while, I just got used to it, I think, and which is, I think, the case for a lot of people that are forced to live here.
Forced to live here, yeah. Everybody just resigns themselves to it at some point.
Yeah, I know.
Like, okay, I'm going to be on the freeway every day for an hour at least.
Exactly. Yeah. Which actually, but, you know, coming from a massive city like Mexico City, this is actually pretty chill.
Oh, okay.
In comparison
the
to...
The traffic's better here?
The traffic is way better here than in Mexico. God. So... But and I think I like what the city has done for me in terms of independence. I can be way more independent here than in Mexico. And Mexico City has always been a very violent and massive city. So it's harder for me to feel like I have that freedom. And here it's, you know, it's great to be able to drive on your own at 2 a.m. and not have to worry about anything, you know.
Unless you're on the 405.
Unless you're... Exactly.
Well, it's great to see you again. We should remind our listeners that you're listening to 88.5 KCSN. The program is Connections, and our guest is Jimena Sarañana. The new album is self-titled, yes, out through Warner Brothers on August 2nd. Welcome to Los Angeles officially, and to the Valley.
Yes.
And we're going to let you play another two songs for us before we wrap things up, so back to you.
Perfect. Thank you. So I'm going to play... this song that I wrote with a really cool guy named Matt Hales, who's from Aqualung. And I really, we wrote this song in his house for his kids, or at least surrounded by his kids. So it's a very kind of kidful, playful song. And it's called Wrong Miracle. La 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 la. It's true, I got the wrong miracle, the wrong miracle. All I wanted was you. La 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 la. I am a ship in a bottle, a monkey's tail, a blue lagoon. I got the wrong miracle. Miracle, all I wanted was you. No matter how happy I am, there's always something in the end. The sudden thoughts, the smallest thing, remind me of what could have been. Should I have gone the other way? For my last song, I'm going to do something from my first record, and this is Mediocre, which is the song that gave the title to the album. It's an it's an I Hate You love song. Here it goes. Son las hojas que escribí ayer, el lenguaje que quedó en tu piel, fue la tinta a toda intención de dejarte lo que soy. Y poco a poco ganó mi ocio. Cuando veo ya no estás y me quedé hasta el final. Hacerte sentir mal, solo quiero que quisieras hoy demostrarte lo que soy. Y poco a poco ganó